Hello and welcome to a special edition podcast here of Missouri Capital Chat, the Missouri Chamber's political and legislative podcast. As always, I'm your host, Ross Lean, and I'm joined today by Kara Porches. Kara, good morning.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I think everyone who was in the Capitol is unsure of what time it is after staying up all night.
Absolutely. That's why we're here. We're going to talk a little bit today about the filibuster the Senate went through this week, starting Wednesday into Thursday, maybe into Friday. It's hard to remember at this point. Kara, let's just jump right in. A lot of things happening, a lot of dynamics, but let me just set the stage for you. Wednesday afternoon, the Senate came back in. Lincoln Huff had a pretty simple bill, which is usually the kiss of death. It really dealt with the state's procurement process and how they bid contracts. And the conservative caucus came out and added the vaccine mandate language to this bill. And that spiraled into, you know, fights over congressional maps and, you know, trial attorneys and all kinds of just craziness last night. Just kind of walk me through how we got to the point where we're at now.
Yeah, well, I think when you said he has a simple bill which seems to be the kiss of death, that isn't the kiss of death for other sessions. Unfortunately, though, this session it is. Simple bills seem to spur the conservative caucus to try to put really, you know, controversial and contentious amendments on them. This bill, which none of us would have thought would have been a vaccination requirement ban pathway, some creative drafting took place to say that any company that has contracts with the state is not allowed to have any type of vaccine requirement, which again goes back to our position. Ross, if you want to say it for me, you're getting the slogan right.
Let business decide.
Exactly.
For those of you who can't see, I was fist pumping while I did it.
Exactly. That is our position. Employers have had the long right to require vaccines in the workplace. They are legally able to require COVID vaccines. We are a system of free enterprise and free market, and employers have the right to set their own policies. And so,
Kara, let me stop you right there. I think you bring up a really interesting point. You know, you talk about how this is a free enterprise system. We're supporting what the business community believes is their right. And I guess maybe I started setting the stage a little too late in the day, because that morning in the Senate Commerce Committee, they were talking about some of these COVID vaccine bills, the House versions of them that have passed and moved over to the Senate.
Senate Commerce heard the two House bills that are not a ban on businesses from requiring vaccines. They just say, if you require vaccines, here's the exemption process you must follow. We did oppose those because we still believe those should be just workplace conversations between the employer and the employee. However, those are the most reasonable out of the 30, and I'm not joking, 30 bills introduced in the House on this topic. And so when I was testifying on our position, and other business groups behind us were testifying on this position, Senator Onder said that employers that choose to require vaccines were treating their employees as serfs or slaves. And we take issue with that, considering that our employers see their employees as a huge asset to their business. Our employers are supporting their employees. They work with their employees all the time to make sure, you know, that they are comfortable, they are being able to advance in their careers. Our employers are making investments in their employees by funding education and training programs. So I can say with confidence that the Missouri Chamber and our members believe their employees are huge assets.
Shout out to Senator Bill White, who quickly made the point that, you know, without employees, employers don't exist. You don't have a business without employees. And most employers care deeply about their employees. And I would say that for every member of the chamber, and not only just the chamber members, but I would say every business owner, every, you know, president of a company cares deeply about their employees.
Yes. Senator White had a lot of great points. So I know a lot of this issue has been politicized, but it goes back to our system of free enterprise and the ability of employers to make their own decisions. We are an employment at will state, and anything to change that would be a huge break in precedent with our free market system in Missouri.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we've talked about a lot on this podcast, this is really kind of our number one issue this year. We've been working on it in committees. We've been working on it in the House, and you know, we're starting to work on it in the Senate. But yesterday, or whatever day of the week it was, we really didn't expect it on a bill about procurement. And so it feels like it kind of came out of left field. And their strategy seems to just be to try to put this language on every bill that comes to the floor on the Senate at this point.
Absolutely. And we appreciate, you know, the champions who were helping to fight it off. And it was really a bipartisan coalition, Ross, of Democrats and Republicans also that believe that employers do have this right to require it. And so, I mean, that was, of course, encouraging to see. I don't necessarily think that's going to be the end of this conversation this session, but, you know, Senator Lincoln Huff, Senator Carla Esslinger, Senator Bill White on the floor all push back against, you know, these blanket bans on employers. And it wasn't just that. There was another amendment that Senator Igel filed and was attempting to put on this procurement bill that actually took it a step further, Ross, and would essentially put limitless lawsuit abilities for employees to sue employers. So now turning this vaccine conversation also into a trial attorney's dream, which, as you know, we stand really firm against frivolous lawsuits. And in this amendment, you had punitive damages allowances, you had a requirement that employees could sue their employer for three times their salary plus fringe benefits. I mean, it was a laundry list of every type of trial attorney lawsuit was added on to this amendment as a penalty to employers. So again, there wasn't a vote on this. It didn't pass. The bill was ultimately laid over. And so the vaccine issue died, at least for this week in the Senate, but we expect to have to continue to fight this. And so we really encourage our members, our businesses, to contact your senator to let them know that you believe businesses should be making these decisions. Let business decide.
Absolutely. I agree with everything you said, Kara. And like you said, great effort by Senator Carla Esslinger, who really kind of led the charge in the late hours of the night to fix what they were trying to do, to bring it to more reasonable language, taking out the really terrible trial attorney language that you mentioned. And get this back on track. Like you said, Kara, ultimately we were able to hold it off on that bill and lay it over, but the night wasn't over. About 6 or 7 in the morning, they came back and we went from COVID vaccines to congressional maps. And somehow we ended up finishing the day with a congressional map. And I'm not sure that anybody is happy about the map, but we have a map.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that was part of it with the vaccine debate. At some point in the night, it wasn't quite clear if people were holding the floor on the vaccine issue or at what point was the tipping point and then it became actually on the map issue. So they all kind of blended together. And as always, you know, there's horse trading going on and issues are playing off each other. But somehow the vaccine debate on a procurement bill, again, weird combination of issues, eventually just evolved into the map fight over the night.
Yeah, like you said, it was a weird string of events, but a congressional map passed by the Senate, obviously some significant changes to the map that came over from the House. So we'll have to go back to the House. But I think, you know, assumptions are this is the map that will get put on the governor's desk and will ultimately we'll be using as filing actually comes to a close, I think, next week, Kara. And, you know, hopefully this issue is behind us. You know, it doesn't really feel like the monkey is off the back of the Senate at all. I mean, I think tensions might be as high right now as they've been at any point this year or that I've maybe ever seen.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's two camps. By them finishing the maps, does this mean that things are going to get better because this huge cloud isn't hanging over the Senate now? And then in the other camp is, well, this was just one issue. And the dynamics really aren't going to change. It wasn't like everyone got together and was best friends at the end of this. You know, it was a really ugly night. It's been, quite frankly, a very ugly first 3 months of session. And so are the dynamics really going to change after the maps are done? I don't know. We need them to change, of course, because we need our priorities to be able to advance. We also need to make sure that we're stopping, you know, anti-business legislation. But I don't know. Honestly, I guess maybe I'm a little bit pessimistic today on if the dynamics totally change when they come back next week.
Yeah. I mean, usually I'm the bright shining ray of sunshine and optimism on this, on this team, but for me, it's hard to find a silver lining other than that we can stop talking about maps at this point. But you know, it doesn't really seem like a week off and away from each other over spring break cooled tensions or you know, made people reevaluate things. It seems like it's business as usual, and we're really just headed for, you know, I don't even know what at this point, but it doesn't seem like we're headed in a good place.
Yeah, and we probably should talk about the maps, generally speaking, and I do want to go again on the record. I know I said this before, the Missouri Chamber does not have a position on maps. We have not engaged in this issue other than monitoring it to see how it affects our other issues. And so I know the big debate always was about St. Charles County, and ultimately I think, and Ross, correct me if I'm wrong, they were able to keep about 80% of St. Charles in one district.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And, you know, I think the way they were able to do that is Dave Schatz's county of Franklin ends up getting broken up a little bit. Boone County, Caleb Rowden's area gets broken up a little bit. You know, they were able to, you know, like you said, keep St. Charles about 80% into one district. And you know, they broke up some other counties to make it happen that, you know, a lot of folks were kind of hesitant and unwilling to break up certain counties up until this point, but you know, the dam finally broke and they were able to do that. You know, interesting to note, I think there's a few folks running for congressional districts that they've announced for certain districts, and now if this map holds up are not in those districts anymore. So I think some additional dynamics will come into play here in the next week or two, like I said, as filing closes next week. But you know, we have a map, Kara. That's all I can keep saying, I guess. Yeah.
And the other thing that was put into this map that wasn't in the map that came out of the House, which I know Senator Hoskins had issue with, was keeping the two military bases together. And this map that was the compromise version did have the two military bases. And I know that that issue, I think, spanned and got support from others as well, considering having the two bases together in one district may help, you know, the ability of Missouri to ensure that they always have someone in Congress on the key military committee. So that issue was closed out. But now it goes back, and we should say, I just want to be clear, it is a 6-2 map. All the debate this session has been 6-2 versus 7-1 map. Ross, you called it. It wasn't going to end up with a 7-1 map, so you are correct. And that's where we are.
Well, I'd just like the record to note that Kara said I was right.
Yeah, I don't say that very often to our listeners out there.
Even though it's true almost all the time. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've talked about a lot of parts of the map, but really I think the interesting thing is, the map that they ended up passing is really just not that far different than the map that was brought up in the Senate 2 months ago that they fought about nonstop for 2 months. So interesting dynamics. Again, we'll see where we go from here. But, you know, COVID vaccines are being battled on in the Senate, and we have a congressional map, Kara.
Yep. So let's hope for the best for the rest of the session.
Absolutely. Well, like I said, 7 weeks left. We'll see what happens from here, but we wanted to make sure that everyone had an update going into the weekend on some of the, you know, the interesting dynamics that happened this week. Kara, any last words before we let people jump off?
No, we'll go back to our normal protocols where we'll go over our key bills in future podcasts, but just wanted to give a special update.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Kara, for joining me. Thank you, everyone, for listening. For now, this has been Missouri Capital Chat.